This podcast contains adult content and adult language. In no way does this reflect the opinions of other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester or Homecast. Your discretion is advised. Alicia Unleashed, and this is episode 57.
It is episode 57.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Not gonna lie, we're almost in the... It's taken us a long time, I feel, to get to the 50s, but we made it.
We've been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah.
We've got a lot going on.
You've got a man now.
Yeah, I do.
I don't. I go to bars alone now.
You will soon. So, in the house, we have Beside.
What up?
And just... Everyone's gonna be so excited for this. They don't have to listen to just me and you the whole time, which is awesome.
And we're going to probably get some new listeners be like, what?
Yes, they're not even know what can do with themselves.
We only know of one confirmed listener. That's it.
Yeah, so, just one. Yeah. We have one listener.
Don't be nervous. We've been on for almost two years.
You'll be good.
It's fine. My tweet game is perfect.
We have in the house, Jenny Greek.
Hello.
Hey, so we're going to get to know all about Jenny in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
All about her. We actually just had a conversation.
It's a little deep.
All about it. You're going to get to know all the ins and outs about Jenny.
I am a pretty open book, so that's dangerous.
Oh, good. This will be an interesting podcast.
Alicia's the Marc Maron of Gloucester, you know.
So it is, what day is it? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
The 12th. Dodgeball happened this past weekend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a short recap, okay, guys? Just short. So this year, Bikini Speedo Dodgeball Tournament was actually on Southern Ave in Essex. It was really low-key this year, which I absolutely loved. Past years, when we've had it, a lot of people, a lot going on, a lot of, you know, not chaos, like organized chaos, but this year was just really cool. It was put together, you know, kind of, you know, not a couple of months ahead, probably like 3 weeks ahead. But Frankie Gwen, props, did an amazing job.
You know Drake?
Frankie, do you know Drake? We're both from Canada, that's what we do. We can't help it.
Well, get it.
He probably doesn't get it either.
No, he gets it now, though. Frankie gets it now.
Oh, he knows?
Well, he's probably a secret listener.
Ooh.
Let's just put it out there. Frankie is behind the scenes in a lot of different things. You don't think Frankie's there, and then boom, Frankie's there.
So answer our question, Frankie. It's been a year.
So it was awesome. So most of the people that were there were the players, and they did gather their 20 teams. I'm going to say this year, the names, you know, in the past years, we've had a lot of teams that were a lot of play on words. For their title, what's it called? Team names. Which I've loved. This year, we kind of lacked in that department.
They had 3 weeks.
I know, but still, you couldn't...
Nah.
You know? So things like, you know, there's some names that didn't really relate to balls and speedos and, or even bikini, whatever. We have, like, the Super Friends, Need for Speedo, the Flamethrowers, I don't know. It just took me today to realize what the flamethrower was, because they throw
it's a
heat.
Ball. Yeah,
they throw heat, dirt. Yeah. Okay. And then Tune Squad, which...
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
I don't understand. But the good ones...
What?
The good ones with the play on words were Bone Chubs and Harmony.
I like that.
That's a good one, right? The Star Spangled Ballers.
Okay.
Okay, and then there were other ones that I can't
Weren't
find
the,
them.
Was it the Russians? Are they back?
The Crazy Ivans.
Crazy Ivans.
I saw.
I saw one of the hats in one of your snaps.
That would be the Brabbit, aka Brian.
Oh, Rabbit.
That's Rabbit's team.
I understand that, but I didn't see Rabbit in your snap. Were the Vikings back?
Yes.
Oh.
The Vikings were back, and the Vikings and the Crazy Ivans played against each other.
So sad.
So. So great. So the win, the big, Okay, first of all, can I tell you? The championship match was very amazing, okay? So the championship match was against the Flamethrowers and the new 2017 champions, Toon Squad. And Toon Squad actually had Jason Fasina, who is John Fasina, who played with Ed Collard, and they won 3 years in a row. His brother created a team, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning. So let's just say that on the Flamethrowers, who mm-hmm. was a CrossFit-made team, mm-hmm. we'll just throw that out there. Every year, CrossFit has a team or two, and they did this year. They had two teams.
Doesn't mean they know how to throw.
But they do. Because why? The Flamethrowers, one was my ex-husband, who is a baseball coach, and he was a pitcher. He carried most of their games. Sorry, guys, but he did. Mm-hmm. He was pretty much on fire. And then other members of their team are either softball pitchers or they play baseball as well. So they had arms. But at the end of the day, I believe a couple of the people on the Toon Squad actually played baseball for my ex-husband, right? And it's really funny because when Chris's coached baseball in this city for many, many years, right? And he was actually the JV baseball coach for 10 years at Gloucester High. So I've known some of these kids that are now in their 20s, and I've known them since they were like 8 or 9 years old. And it's really great in some of these tournaments.
And when you think about a word,
you can't say it.
You'll never say it.
And he goes against his players, which right. I think is amazing. So anyway, Toon Squad won. It was amazing. And that's all I'm going to say about that. That's my recap of Dodgeball.
Good. I'm done chugging my cider now because I was very scared for everything that was about to come out your mouth.
Oh, what are you kidding me? Joey's like on the edge of his seat grabbing the freaking desk going, Alicia, please don't do it. Alicia, please don't do it. Alicia, please don't
you
do it.
You know someone else is going to hear about it.
Do you know what? I am so...
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
You don't listen to this.
You never
do. You think that the last thing that Chris wants to do is be listening to his ex-wife rant?
By the way, hi, Mr. E.
I was going to say, because my ex-boyfriend was a CrossFit guy, and that guy was not coordinated enough to play dodgeball. So that's what I was saying about doesn't mean they can throw or catch, because... Like, right. Not all CrossFit people.
I mean, I got I've been to three softball World Series. Doesn't mean I'm actually an excellent player and, like, a hardcore player.
Takes the team.
I just can pay for a flight in a hotel room and have the willingness to run when I need to. Doesn't mean I run the bases well or know how to run the bases, but I could throw like nobody's business. But a dodgeball, that's too big.
Yeah, dodgeball is, it's...
Some big balls.
Yeah, some big balls.
I'm also always scared of my nose because it's very large. It's like, well, this would be an excuse for a nose job, but nah, then
just
I'd have to pay for it.
Stick your face in front of the nose.
I know. He's like, oh, that would have hurt.
So that's pretty my recap. That's all I really have.
Good deal.
Yeah, we haven't had any podcasts since then, so that's my quick and fun recap. That's it. Can't wait till next year. I actually wasn't going to go, but I hyped it up so much to Mr. E that he was like, I want to go. And then he had so much fun. He's like, can I play next year?
Oh, God. So if that happens, I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care who. I don't care what the situation is. I'm going. Sorry for the haters. I'm going.
I'm already thinking about my team. You know what? You know, I think I might be
but
cool.
The thing
I think
is,
I might
though,
pull
the thing is, though,
teams.
Are they actually going to reorganize next year? Or are they going to do the secret low-key
stuff? No, because I don't think they're going to... I don't think they'll do the secret low-key stuff. It was, I don't know. It was maybe scheduling, I don't know.
Maybe
but
you
maybe,
should be part of the organization.
Nope, no thank you. Not when you just see and you start thinking about all the little tidbits that Frankie had to put together. Yeah. No thanks. He did an amazing job. Amazing job.
Fair enough.
So, Jenny Greek in the house.
Yes.
You're from Gloucester.
I am.
You're born and raised here.
Born in Salem, raised here.
Raised here.
Just Salem Hospital.
Same thing, Beverly Hospital.
Legit did not ever live in Salem.
So you've had a lot of things happen since you graduated high school. You've had a lot of exciting things happen.
Yeah, and some some hard times and
yeah, a little bit of everything. Wait, when did you get back here?
Sprinkle. I think I moved back here almost 9 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So you've been back for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the really, really cool things that I found out about you, and actually you have in common with Karen, the owner of CrossFit, mm-hmm. is that you're a roller derby girl.
She's crush puppy.
Yes. So do you know Karen?
I don't. I met her a few times, like at, you know, breakfast. She's having breakfast, and I'm like,
oh, okay.
And this is when, actually, it was only when I was a newbie. So I'm like, you know, this little shy roller derby girl, and they're like, oh, you know, Crush Puppy lives in your town. Crush, and I'm like, oh, and I figure out who she is, and then I see her, and I'm like, hi, I'm new to roller derby. Like one of those, yeah. like little shy, you know, not me at
you
all.
You shy?
I know. Well, you know, I had the.
No, that's not. That's totally true because you were shy for a very long time, and then. You know,
I have shy moments and not shy moments, yeah. but when it's like, you know, think of a roller new derby
sport,
girl,
right.
and you're,
yeah.
as an adult, brand new
right,
to these people
right.
that you're looking up to, like, oh, you know.
So when did you start roller derby?
Okay, so I was teened in 2014, but I was skating for a few years, let's just say about 2 years before that, because I had an injury, and I had to wait a little bit before I could get onto, like, their kind of... They started a new thing. Like, before, what it was you tried out. And if you
right,
made tryouts,
right.
you went through fresh meat. And fresh meat, they're just like, boom, like, turning toe stops, stopping on a dime, falling, blah, blah,
right.
all in one. And, like, you might not be ready for it. It was a lot of injuries, and then, like, they would have cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. And then finally, you get to the, if you got that far, you could get drafted. And
okay.
it wasn't even like you were definitely going to get drafted. Because
right.
there was one girl that didn't get drafted 1 year. She went through the whole thing. Now it's different. Now they have 101 and 201 where you join up and they teach you how to skate and they teach you how to fall. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
okay.
It's like a graduating kind of process until you're ready to be drafted or scrimmage eligible and all that
stuff.
Oh,
okay.
So it's a lot gentler.
Safer. What made you even want to do it?
One of my friends invited me to go watch it and, you know, I went to about and... I saw, like, all these females crashing into each other, and I used to play basketball and, like, loved full contact sports, and I see this, and I'm like, I want to do this, just kind of like we were talking about with dodgeball, and I go to her, I'm like, who wouldn't want to do this? She goes, I don't, I like watching it, but I don't want to get hit like that, and I was like, I want to do this, and, you know, I had some, like, just a moment where I was like, do it, like, you know, I'm gonna try. So I, like, got my sister-in-law had some skates she wasn't using that were, like, really bad.
So you were growing up, we roller skated, and then I think when we were teenagers, it went to rollerblading.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been roller skating or rollerblading? Wait,
no.
So you were starting from scratch when you did
yes.
this?
Yes.
Are you serious?
And that's not abnormal for this. Because,
really? Get out.
Because we all stopped going...
To the
roller
palace.
Skating when you didn't have birthday
Which is
housing.
Back. The roller palace is
it
back.
Is,
it's
it
alive.
Is. Which is weird because I kept going to last
the end
party.
Of the end
of
the
party.
Oh, okay.
But like a bunch of us derby girls kept going to those. But anyway, so I just kind of, where were we? It was just like one of those things where no one really grew up roller skating except for very few people. And then the people that grew up figure skating and dancing and yoga and all this had a little bit more of an edge because of balance.
Right,
you know,
right,
core
yeah.
strength and balance. But mostly, other than, like, one girl, no one really grew up roller skating. So
right.
a lot of us did have to start from very, like, I had to start from zero. But a lot of people did have to start pretty much from there as well. So it wasn't abnormal. And the great thing about derby is... All these girls that are at my point, where I'm at now, will go up to the newbies and be like, that took me forever to learn. Or, like, it took me
right.
years to do that. Like,
right.
like, and talking about their progress and,
right.
wow, like, I can't believe you can do that at this point. Because some of these newbies that are coming up, they're learning, they're just far beyond what I was.
Right. So I grew up roller skating. And then even when we got into rollerblading, when rollerblades came out when we were pretty much teenagers, I always went back to roller skating.
Mm.
So my sister also did as well. So I actually own... So my sister tried out for roller derby.
Oh, did she?
Yep. Years ago where she was. So she lives like near in North Conway.
Mm-hmm.
But in her area, Maine, there's a a main league. Yeah, well. And it was just too far away. She made it, but she couldn't do it. She never stopped skating. Mm-hmm. So now I am the proud owner of her custom-made Skecher roller skates.
Wow.
So we've never stopped. Like, you know, I've never went, and it's so crazy when you get on the Roller Palace floor on these high-speed skates, you're like, oh, crap. But I do. We pick it right back up again. And
yeah.
Roller skating is something that I've always, continued and never...
I wanted for my 35th birthday to do a private party at the Roller Palace, but I was convinced by Christina not to do it because had we gone, some of her, let's just say her husband, gonna call you out, Joel, would have been like, hey, watch me do this trick, and would have... busted himself, and she's like, I'm paying off his last surgery, I can't do this. And I was like, good point, I just had back surgery and I still have that fear of my knee injury from the last time I was at the Roller Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
you just wear tons of braces.
Yeah, I know. I wear shin guards when I play softball, and people are like, why are you wearing shin guards? I'm like, because I like my shins and I wear a lot of dresses, and they're like, oh, you're the straight girl. I'm like, yeah.
Well,
yeah. They're me.
It's at the point now where it's actually really uncomfortable to not wear pads, because we wear head, teeth, wrist, elbow, knee pads. You have to. You mm-hmm. can't skate. You can't enter the track without those things.
Right.
So when you go to the Royal Palace, I'm always like wearing my wrist guards at least. I'm always wearing
right.
something because it feels really weird to not wear them.
Right.
That's fair.
So what year did you get on a team?
2014. I was drafted onto the Cosmonauts.
And where's that out of?
Cosmonauts is Boston Roller Derby, one of Boston Roller Derby's home teams. There's four home teams and three travel teams.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So are you currently still on it?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So this is my fourth season, I believe. And then, so I've been skating for a good amount of time. I'm still not that great of a skater, but I understand sports. I grew up playing all these sports. So some of these girls didn't. Some of these girls are not athletes. Well,
that's,
they are now, but
funny.
They didn't grow up athletes.
Right.
And they wanted this camaraderie of this, like, girl power.
Right.
And, like, trying something new. And just having something different in your life. And it's really cool. But like I said, nobody grew up playing roller derby. So we all had to learn the rules. We all had to learn strategies.
Right,
and stuff, so.
Right. So what's the season?
Well, it changes because we're trying to figure out the best season to have games because of, like, we don't want to have snow outs because we rent the Shriners. So and we rent this other rink in Cambridge. So we want to get butts in the seats, but we
yes.
also want to make sure we don't have any, like, you know, bad days where we have to cancel.
Right.
So
because
right,
no one wants to drive in the
right.
weather.
So right now we just had one in what was it? February, and then our next one is actually April 29th at the Simone Rink in Cambridge.
Cool.
Okay.
Which is a hockey rink, and then after that we have Shriners Auditorium and stuff like that. It's all on BostonRollerDerby.com.
So BostonRollerDerby.com, you can go on and you can find when your
bouts are.
Yeah, they're about once a month. They're called bouts. Yeah.
Okay.
But we also have travel team bouts, which is like they travel the nation. And the nation comes to us as well. So we'll get, like, Philly. They're going to San Francisco, which is where Aurelia plays roller derby.
Yeah, okay,
plays roller derby for them.
Oh,
she's
really?
She's called Dreadzilla. I'm Dirty
nice.
Water.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, we all have, like, names.
And
okay.
isn't your dog a mascot?
Yeah, she's there all the time.
And she has her own little jersey.
Dirty Pup, I made that for her.
That's so cute. So how did you come up with your name?
Well, it's funny because when I started getting to choose my name, there was this website called Two Evils, and it had a list of all the names you couldn't have because someone already had them. And it was, I mean, what, 30,000, 50,000 names you can't have or something. I wanted Full Metal Jackie, couldn't have that. I wanted Veruca Assault, couldn't have that. Like, all these other fun, but you know.
I have a friend that's named Veruca Assault.
Screw her for taking my name. Anyway, I had all these names, and then I was in San Diego and visiting my friend, and like, I was still thinking of my name, and I was thinking of maybe Dirty Water, because it's a Boston name,
right,
you
of
know?
Course, yeah.
And it's, but it's not, like, a play on words or anything like that, and some of
no,
us
no, it just means Boston, because
yeah.
it's a direct...
Yeah. And, you know, the people that lived in San Diego, they're like, you're so Boston, you're so salty. Like, you know, it's like,
right.
like, oh, it's Dirty Water.
That's says right. all the New England transplants that are
yeah.
there. Okay.
So,
I guess, right?
So it's fun, because, like, sometimes they play my song, you know, and I'm like...
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting how people come up with their names, and I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And
you also have an entourage, though. Doesn't your mom and dad?
Oh, my whole family.
Yeah. Every time. They all have their own names and
stuff?
Oh,
yeah. So, like, my mom and dad have Dirty Daddy, Dirty Mama, Dirty Sister.
That's awesome.
Dirty Pup. Yeah, they all. My boyfriend was Mr. Dirty.
Awesome.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Awesome.
And it's, like, it's fun because, like, you know, my team's the blue team and the next team's the red team, purple team. And hot pink team. And so, like, the fans will come with those colors. And we get a good amount of following. So, you know, get signs and things like that. So, it's fun.
So, what was it? It just popped on my head. Oh, why did you choose a local? You said that three others are traveling teams. Mm-hmm. Did you not want to try out for those traveling teams? Or?
Right, yeah. Because, well, I have to make two practices a week. And we practice in Lynn. So, attendance is two practices minimum a week. If you miss one, you can make it up the next week. But it starts to snowball. So, if it's a travel team, it's like, oh, man, that's like another at least one to two more practices I got to go to.
And then also travel.
And then traveling and with my company and just all this stuff that I do. I was like, you know what?
Right.
I want to keep it as least stressful as possible and happy and fun. And not that it's not for those people, because it is. They love it.
Right. They're like... Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and some people, they make it work, but I personally think that it would just be too stressful.
So do you have training in between? Like, do you have training now in between? Like, what do you do to, I know you skate a couple times a week, mm-hmm. which is amazing workout in itself, but what other kind of things do you do?
So a lot of people do CrossFit, like a lot of them are CrossFit people. I run, which is not actually that great because you lose muscle in certain areas, but I personally have a really hard time going to the gym. I mean, try to do squats and things like that, but I try to run like at least 3 miles, 3 to 5 miles.
Swimming would be great.
Yeah.
Swimming would be a great cross training. Mm-hmm. As they always say, if you run, then you should swim because mm-hmm. you want to cross train on those things. Yeah. So what, so is it just like what you see in the movies?
Well, the movies, like something like Whippet and stuff like that, like it's similar, but not. So we're a flat track, not a raised bank track.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because, I mean, most teams are, it's a, Wichita is a flat track derby. To have a raised track, you have to have a place that is permanently yours, you know, like with all those permits and all that stuff. Like, it's just, it's a lot harder to do that than having just tape on the ground that's, you know, marked and all that stuff. And, and also, like, you can't elbow, you know, it's not like in the 70s where you're punching and elbowing. That's more like wrestling, you know, fake too. It was pretty fake.
Right.
Now it's really like a legit, it is a legit sport. They're trying to make it like, you know, it's a world sport.
Right.
And they're trying to make it an Olympic sport eventually. But it's a very fast growing sport. I think Massachusetts has like 4 leagues.
Yeah.
Boston's the closest. Then we have Cape Cod. You have Worcester. And I think there's another one even somewhere else.
Further out there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
where the dragons are?
So it's, like the place that might as well be Connecticut, right?
Right.
So, I was going to say, for roller derby versions, kind of give a rundown of what it is.
Okay, first of all, if you YouTube it, like YouTube 101s and stuff like that, like I always tell whenever someone's coming, I'm like, YouTube the rules, because it with any sport, if you don't know the sport,
that you're not going to understand, you just feel lost.
It's been a bunch of chicks going in a circle hitting each other and everybody's cheering, you're like, why the heck are they cheering? So think of football, which a lot of people know football. Think of two defensive line and offensive line, but think of it as two running backs. One from each team trying to get through that line. So roller derby is on an oval track, and everybody starts at one line called the jammer line. There's two people, one from each team behind the jammer line, and then there's four from each team on the other side of that line. Those are the blockers. So the idea is the jammers, the ones with the star on the helmet, need to get through that pack of blockers. And as a blocker, I want to help my jammer get through while also denying the other jammer to get through.
Right.
Okay. Once the jammers get through, everybody they pass from the opposite team is a point. So they have to get through them and then come back around and then you get points. And then there's all these rules of, like, you know, cutting the track. Like, if someone hits you out, you have to come in behind them and anybody in front of them. You can't, like, you know, hit them. It's all body checking. There's a lot of rules with that. And then the lead jammer can call it off and deny points to the other jammer. There's a whole lot of that stuff. And so online's the best place to see that stuff.
Okay. And then how do you know when the game's over? How many rounds? Is it rounds or how many times do you go
halves,
around?
Okay. 30 minutes to each half. So it's an hour-long game. So you have two halves. And within those halves, kind of like downs and things like that, you have 2 minutes per jam. So when everybody comes out on the track, you get the two and the four and the four. And that starts the clock for a two-minute jam. Now, when that 2 minutes is over, if it hasn't been called off prematurely, then the next round, the next set of people come.
Okay, so you're not skating for a whole hour.
No.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
I mean, last year we had 9 people on our team, and it felt like I was skating for a whole
hour. So
right.
What should be the minimum? Is 9 the minimum for a team?
We don't have a minimum. Well, yeah, you have to be able to field track. But
right, but like how many players do you, or how many girls?
You're supposed
do you
to have about 16, 17 on your team.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But we had, between injuries and people that had, you know, moved away and things like that, we ended up with, like, at one point we had 12.
Oh, and we're so you're like, skating for the whole hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you've got 5 people, essentially, unless they're in the box.
Yeah.
You've got 5 people on the track, so then the next 5 come out, so you might be, like, going, you know, and then you do 2 at a time and stuff.
Oh, God, so intriguing.
Yeah.
Well, you're learning a lot,
super,
actually.
Super, super intriguing for a skater.
You know, I can just see why, you know, people loved it. So what is, so this is a 2-part question. What is worst injury you've ever had, and what's the worst injury you've ever seen?
Mm. So I fractured my ankle. So part of the reason why it took me so long, it's nothing. Believe me, that is so, like, rite of passage, so average, especially because nobody even hit me. I was just skating and lost my balance. And just was like, when I wasn't, you know,
right.
I wasn't right there yet. Thanks. And so that's, I don't know if I've ever really seen bad, but like there was this one girl that bones ended up coming out of her shin.
Compound fractures are brutal.
We've had concussions and things like that. There's been a lot of breaking, like bad breaking that you can't see, but have happened. But, you know, it's a contact sport and you're on roller skates. You know what I mean? Like I said, when I play basketball, I'm comfortable moving around and stuff like that. But when you're moving and like
the wheels, like my main fear is like, what if something gums up the wheel and the wheel just immediately stops and I just fly?
That's always a fear when you're doing street skating. But like, we actually learn how to do hockey stops on quads.
Really?
So like, think of how they like hockey stop.
Yeah.
Like,
oh wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have to learn how to do that on quads. You know what I mean? Like things like that.
If you're doing hockey stops on quads, there's a good chance that the skate would stop and you would keep going. Mm-hmm.
No, you can't go to the Roller Palace and rent the Roller Palace skates and try to do hockey stops, right?
No, you're a pro.
You need to be a pro.
Well,
think about how
lacquered that floor is. It's so sticky.
Yeah.
If you did those, and those are like plastic wheels. Those aren't even
They're not.
But whatever. Yeah. I'm probably the worst when it comes to, like, all these girls have like bags of different wheels. Like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I got hard wheels for this floor and stuff.
Yep, you got it.
And I'm like,
so where'd you get? So what skates do you have, and where'd you get them?
I have Rydell skates. I got them at Bruised Boutique. So we have ex Cosmonauti opened a roller derby store.
Oh.
In Nashua, New Hampshire, and she has it in New Orleans as well, and it's called Bruised Boutique. So like bruises and stuff like that. And she also does a lot of girls when they get out of derby lately have been actually girls that are in it too. They do this thing called Chicks and Bowls, which is they go to skate parks. And they like do the ramps.
Oh, do the bowls
and
stuff
like
that.
Fun.
Sort of pools. Oh.
That's a new thing coming up too.
Nice,
awesome.
And so they have these like pretty little like old school looking skates, the higher ones with the colored suede.
Oh, cool.
Or,
So, do you have any tips for someone that might want to get into it, or you know, what's your thoughts?
Well, first thing also is like go to the Roller Palace, like. even if you have to use their crappy skates for a bit, like, you know, see if you even like skating again. And then also go to watch a bout, because learn some of the rules. See,
right.
So that's how I got into it. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Not only are
right.
we like playing this contact sport, but people want to watch you, and it's like
right.
a production, you know, there's
right.
music, there's lights, you know, we're the roller derby, our roller derby league, team league actually is owned by us. Like, we don't have one owner. So we all have jobs. We all have to work it. We all have
right.
volunteer things we have
oh,
to
okay.
do. And so there's a big push to keep it going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We want to get more and more people. So people are going to be like, you want to play? I'll talk to you about it. You know what I mean? You
right.
want to learn
so
the rules?
Cool.
We'll talk to you about it.
Right.
Yeah. So we're
awesome.
Always trying, yeah, trying to find new people. So
awesome. So that was amazing.
Yeah,
right. It makes me want to play. Makes me want to roller derby now. That's just it's.
I told
awesome.
You, I know a lot of people. I got good people.
Yeah, I know you do, Bridget.
I got
you
some
do.
Interesting friends. They
you
do interesting things.
And you know what? We're not even done with Jenny. In
we're
the most,
not.
We're not even done. You think that was interesting?
It's a hidden gem just sitting here, right here in Gloucester.
Seriously.
And two sisters. What every Sunday or something like that.
We just miss you. We went last Sunday for Talia's birthday. We did a breakfast there. Two sisters is one of my favorite breakfast
I've never
places.
Been.
Oh, it's amazing. Awesome. Here we go. Second half of Jenny Greek.
It's the halftime.
Halftime. Halftime. Jenny owns a fashion line.
Yeah.
She is a fashion designer. Okay. Wow. Where do we even begin with this one? Like, where? Like, what? Like, how did you go, like, what? Go to college for this? Okay.
Right. Is that what you wanted to do in high school? Is that what you thought you were going to do in after high school?
So, I knew I wanted to go to art school. And for some weird reason, I did think fashion. I dress like this. I'm in jeans and a t-shirt.
And a flannel.
I'm in, like, yeah.
For the
yeah.
listeners at home, she is wearing an Ewok t-shirt.
Yeah. Star Wars. It says Nub Dub. Anyway, but like, I don't know, it's just, for me, it's the art world, you know what I mean? It's a 3D art. So I decided to go to art school, but I decided to go to design school, not fine art school.
Okay.
So design is the business of art. And so I got to go to Parsons, which is, you know, a really big school in New York City.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, it's funny because my family didn't know what Parsons was. And so they were like, don't you want to go to a different school? And then, like, when people that knew art found out about Parsons,
mm-hmm.
they were like, when my parents were like, yeah, she goes to Parsons, they're like, oh, really? And they're like, oh, yeah.
That's the Harvard of fashion design.
Yeah,
right?
Then they knew.
Yeah, but it was like, they never, they, you know, show off kind of thing. But I love my parents. But anyway, so yeah, so I went there, and your first year is like liberal arts, you know. So we got into like plastics and all the different woods and like everything that
like
color
you, like,
design,
plastics,
color
like
theory.
Learning the whole textures of them,
like
and stuff?
Learning to work with plastics, learning to work with woods, learning
okay.
to work with, you know, it's a liberal arts first year just to kind of give you a taste of everything, illustration, digital, all that stuff, and then you do your little, you know. You know, you go and see, taste each thing. And I almost did architecture design. Didn't do that. But yeah, so fashion. And then actually, it was kind of strange. Halfway through fashion school, I started to really reconsider what I wanted out of this. Like, what do I like out of fashion? And I actually decided I want to do costume design. And so I actually ended up working on a Coen Brothers film called...
Brand New World?
Lady Killers, sorry.
Oh, the
Lady Killers.
With Tom Hanks?
Yeah. I got to tango with Tom Hanks.
What?
Yeah. He taught me how to tango. But anyway.
Right now. Are we kidding right now?
Just drop that right in there.
Let me just drop that I tango with Tammy. What?
Yeah. And so I was like, you know, the thing I loved about fashion was also history and the characters that wear the fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So that turned
into... Because it was kind of considered a period piece, right?
Oh,
in a
yeah,
sense.
It is,
yeah.
It was, yeah,
okay.
And it's, because it had, like, that feeling, well, most of Mary Zofrace and Coen Brothers have that, even if they're not placed in that, they have that kind of Dust Bowl era kind of feel, because she did Oh Brother Where Art Thou,
okay.
And she did Big Lebowski, and you know what I mean, they all have that kind of whiskey taste to them or something, but, so I got that job, and I actually designed this movie that turned into a really big Sundance Film Festival thing. Like, I full-on did the costume design on napkins for this guy, and because my brother-in-law is a composer for film, and he knew this guy, and,
wow.
And it ended up being called Brick. It's a really big, like, independent film, and it jump-started the director, Rian Johnson's career, and now he's doing Star Wars.
Okay.
He's doing the, wow. You know. But I had to leave it, and I even talked to Tim Gunn, who's the lead of Parsons, if you know Project Runway. And I was like, Tim.
That's how I know Parsons.
By yeah. Way. No, that's how a lot of people know Parsons. I was like, Tim, I need to, you know, I want to finish this movie, but all low-budget movies, you know, they take a long time. And he was like, you got to get back. So I had to leave it, and it ended up blowing up. And he had to hire someone to pretty much just do my stuff. And I got costume consultant credit.
Okay.
That's awesome.
No, it pissed me off because I didn't get costume designer. anyway, so I came back and I ended up going to NYU grad for film.
Get out. Awesome.
For costume designer film. So I did that for a while. And I was in New York working on that. And to be honest, I just got overwhelmed. My life just kind of blew up. Like, I was engaged and that just didn't work out, which didn't make me quit everything. But I was like, I need to reevaluate. And I actually was going to join the Peace Corps. And I looked into the Peace Corps. I came back here. I was doing all the applications. And then that big scandal broke out where Peace Corps and Peace Corps rapes were being covered up. So I was like, not doing that. And then I got a little opportunity by the same girl that brought me to roller derby to do a small fashion line. And that's where that came from.
Okay. So what is your fashion line?
So my fashion line is called Harpy, which Harpy, H-A-R-P-Y.
Okay.
It's my last name's Greek, and Harpy is a Greek demigod. She's half eagle, half woman.
Right.
So she's kind of vicious. She's the siren of the skies, so men fear her.
So roller derby makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, why didn't you have your roller derby name Harpy?
There's already one.
Shut up.
It was not on the approved list.
In New Hampshire, I think, actually. Yeah.
Curse them.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, so, you know, and it's taken a lot of evolution. I mean, it started off being kind of girly and fluffy dresses, and I'm not really like that, you know, and I had
Why did you start off that way then?
It was more of like a theatrical show for a hotel.
Okay.
But that's what they liked, and, you know, so I ended up having this sales team that picked me up, and I was designing like that, and I was designing for boutiques, and they would sell my stuff, and I would design it and make it. I made everything.
You made it.
Everything.
You
in your garage
on your sewing machine. You would make it. So you sewed everything. You made it.
And I made the patterns from scratch. Everything.
Wow.
I
sourced that's my a own true material. Designer right there.
I source my own. I go to New York. I get my own material. You know everything.
Right.
So problem is, I would have boom seasons and then bad seasons.
Right.
Boom season, bad season. And boutiques are going through hardness right now. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, one little mistake and, you know, like,
you're in the outlet.
Yeah, like it's pretty hard. It's a pretty hard racket. So what I'm doing now is I've had a break where I'm like, I want to do this completely different. I want to do this my way. Screw the fashion rules. Because before I was doing a line, I was doing 20 pieces and it was like pants, dresses, shirts. Jackets, but what was really selling was my jackets, and I love selling jackets. I mean, making jackets because there's so much
like,
stuff.
What kind of jackets?
Like casual, going out to like a club or a bar, or just walking down the street jackets, but not like coats,
like outerwear jackets, not like business jackets.
Well, they're like they could be like used as blazers as well.
Okay.
If you look at harpyfashion.com, the stuff that's on there now is my last season that before what I'm doing now.
Right.
But you can see those will totally go with jeans and dress pants and things like
so that. So it's a lot of people and a lot of women. Wait, are you a women?
Yeah,
line
women's.
On women's?
As of right now, yeah.
Okay. In that line, everyone loves to say, you know, loves to see what is professional tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So blazers that can be worn, you know, from work to after work mm-hmm. and to things like that. So is that kind of where you're...
Yeah, but like with an edge too. Like some of them are and some of them aren't. It's really just a mixture because I also do vests as well. So sometimes I'll do a jacket and try to do the vest version You know what I mean? Cool. So if you want to, like, not have a jacket. Puppies. The thing is that, like, I like to keep it a little edgy. So it's girls with an edge. I mean, it's actually getting even more because I'm changing it. Now that I've done this break where I'm going to be online only, I'm going to be controlling it. I'm actually going to keep it very small runs. So if you buy it, I will let you know this is one of five. This is one of 25. Like, and that's it.
So are you, so who's making all of them?
I'm going to be making all of them. I do make all of them.
You do? Yeah. So you're on, so as of right now, you have a small enough, I would say, clientele where you can physically make them.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if all of a sudden it just blows up and you have 20 people that want ones, like, that want this size, or 50 people? What happens?
Well,
like, what
I'll happens? Have to restructure, but the idea is that, like, I don't necessarily want that. I'm going to be going at it more artistically. So they're going to be pricier. Some of them are and some of them not. It depends on the fabric. It depends on how long it takes me to make them. I'm going to be honest about that stuff. You know what I mean? But they are individual. You know, you're not going to find these at Marshall's. You're not going to find them anywhere. Anywhere else. And I also am going to be doing something that's similar to what Alexander McQueen does, which is do something incredibly artistic, like, who's ever going to wear that, but do the fashion version of it too.
So, cool. Like, so more avant-garde, yes. Than also not necessarily,
not haute couture. Couture is one of a kind.
But also not, ready to wear, right?
Right, right. Okay. So there's all these levels. There's bridge and couture and people throw couture around. If you're making more than one, it's not couture.
Gotcha.
Couture is made for that one person, and that's it. Okay. And actually, my art pieces will be one-offs, and they might be just for the photo shoot, but then there'll be some really fun things. So there's actually, that's a good lead-off to, in October, there's a wearable art show that's happening at Cruiseport that's been happening for years.
Yeah.
But I've been putting more of my fashion pieces in that, but cool. This year I'm actually doing art pieces, and I'm going to be doing the fashion pieces to go with the art pieces.
Six Museum that did wearable art.
Yeah, it's the World of Wearable Art, and I'm actually going to be putting those pieces in that next year.
Oh,
it's in New Zealand. It's a once a year contest they do. And it's happening right about now.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when you go on your site, are you limited to sizing? What does your sizing look like?
So when you go on my site, when I'm ready to sell online, because right now what you're going to see is what the boutiques look at, and then they do a private order. So I start at right now doing extra large to extra small.
Okay.
So, you know, large to mini.
So what would...
My wallet's excited.
However... What is your sizing when it comes to small, medium, large, extra large? Because some people might see an extra large as a 12-14, where others might see it as a 16.
So I'm about, I would say I'm actually like a 6 right now, like when it comes to like arm gear and stuff like that. I'm a medium.
So your medium is a 6-8?
So... It's hard to put it.
It is hard to put in those terms.
Like,
but that's
what I actually have a list.
Okay.
Of you know, measurements. Like, this is what you are. This is what you are. I kind of go through a J. Crew. I went through like a J. Crew one, and I was like, you know, I'm pretty similar to that. So I actually just took that one. So I fit into the mediums, But I guess, like, the thing is if anybody ever needed, like, a 2XL, or I don't think anybody ever was going to need a double X, like, double XS, but that would be a custom order.
Okay.
And depending on if I have the fabric left, because the idea is, the biggest idea is waist, because what happened before was, as a small, one of the problems with having a small company like this is wholesale fabrics. So if you do your... If you make your samples, say, this time of year, well, the boutiques are going to need them this time next year.
Right.
And if you do the samples and you only buy, you know, so much for the samples, if you're buying from a retail store, you're not going to see them next year.
Right.
And that's actually the biggest problem I got, is I bought a ton from a retail store thinking, I bought a big roll, and I had the biggest boom I've ever had, like 70 orders of one jacket. And I had to find out how to make that fabric. And it was a double knit pattern fabric, which, believe it or not, is next to impossible to get made. I had to find a place in Switzerland that makes it. So now I do wholesale, but then again, their minimums are really big, like one roll, right. You know what I mean? Or 500 yards, you know what I mean? So you're gambling on the idea that that's actually going to sell. So I have a lot of leftover beautiful fabric.
Right.
So, and I can't sell it to even Boston. I tried to sell it to some of the stores in Boston. They're like, no, your fabric's too nice. We can't sell that.
Huh.
So, the idea is that, like, I'm actually using some of the fabric that I have left over in new ways. And when that's over, it's over.
So let's just hypothetically say that I came to your house or met with you and you had this leftover fabric of certain sorts and I saw a pattern that I loved and you would tell me what you'd use that pattern for. If it was a dress or a jacket, you would be able to custom make that for me.
Yeah, if I had time. Like, it's one of those things where if it's a boom season, then I'd be like, well, it's going to take me this long.
Right.
Or if I'm in the production mode, you know what I mean? I'm always kind of trying to shy away from custom.
Right.
Because then making one thing takes so long compared to making five.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it all depends on if I have to make a new pattern out of, like, so say you see that and I'm like, I only have this pattern because I never actually put it into production. Now I got to resize it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And all that stuff. So yes and no. It really does depend. If someone was like, hey, I want a 2XL of that jacket.
Right.
And I don't have it in stock. If I have that fabric still, I can say, yes, I'll do it. It's going to take this much time.
Right. And so do you have them send their measurements or do you not trust that and meet them in person and measure them? Like, how do you do that? Because sometimes measurements don't... My mom's a seamstress, mm-hmm. right? And my mom made a lot of our clothes growing up and she's, you know, even in her day, she made my sister's prom gown. I mean, things like that. And people's measurements are not always the same, you know? People take their bust might be one place, and then an inch down, it's completely different.
they're not lining up their nipples.
They're not, right. I mean, anything.
or their back.
Oh, right. My God.
A lot of times people go down higher.
Anything. So how do you deal with that?
I mean, if they're not local and they can't come to me, I gotta trust that. Like, I gotta give them instructions, and you're a big girl. You do it yourself. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
There's a certain part of every part of life where you gotta be like, you're a grown ass person. Do it yourself.
Right. Right.
And I've come across that so much. Where, especially, I hate to be this, but people that are like, I've always wanted to do roller derby, like, and they want me to hold their hand. I'm like, I did it myself. You're a grown ass girl. Do it yourself. Like,
right. Exactly.
Like, I'll come there. I'll give you, like, you know, instructions.
I'll help you, but
there's people that want you to hold their hands.
No,
for everything.
And that's not for them.
And yeah, and I mean, that's the same thing with fashion design. I've always wanted to do fashion design. It's like, I had to learn.
Right.
And YouTube is excellent for stuff like that these days. I don't know if it really, like, sewing, but.
Right. Yeah.
These dogs is never quitting today.
Champ is like, he's all aggro right now.
It's all Champ.
But they're so cute.
They are very cute. They are very cute. Can't stand it.
But I mean, I went to school not knowing how to sew at all.
Really?
So, I mean, you have to, you know, learn through just...
Do you really... You
kind
mean
to
roller derby?
Right?
You got no hopping to skate.
Start from ground zero.
Starting to weld.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So, you... Hold on one second. So you also do welding.
Yeah.
So
you weld?
Yeah. So
what do you weld?
So in general, I'm a 3D artist. You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, metal.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of people are gonna hate me for this. A lot of people, but it's glorified glue gunning. You know what I mean? In a way.
Here we go.
Like, I love it. I mean, there's so much more to it, but, like, that's how I
do. Do you feel like Jennifer Beals, though? Can I ask?
No, because I'm not down in the trenches, and then I don't, like, go dance off.
Will there be chainmail in your fashion line?
I love chainmail, so. But I'm pretty sure that my welding would just break that apart. But it's artistic welding. It's not, like, pipe. It's nothing for integrity, you know. I'm not doing anything where people are standing on it and need it for support. It's more like... I'm working on things about this big. Actually, I have one big thing.
So here's, I love how you do this with your hands. The people listening, they can't see you do that. So this big, so we're talking about what, a foot?
Water jug, maybe like, so I'm working, so I got back from Scotland and England with my mom, and I saw these like poppy seed, like dried out seeds, and I'm like, these would make amazing lanterns. So okay. they're about the size of a water jug, and you know, they're these kind of seed-esque.
Yeah.
So, and then, but I mostly did it because I wanted to weld backgrounds for photo shoots.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, how cool would it be to have these custom art pieces? Photos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. I'm working on one that it kind of looks like you're going into like almost like outer spacey. It's, and when you take it apart, it's actually abstract wings.
Wow.
Like that are just put together to look like almost like you're going into outer space.
So have you finished these pieces? Where are you in this? Do you have orders for this welding or no? Okay.
It's at the point where I'm not really comfortable with that. So I've made like things for my parents. Like I made this vine with flowers for my mom for Mother's Day. And everybody's like, oh my God, I want that. Can you sell this? And I'm like, just not really quite ready.
How long did it take you to...
I'm a perfectionist.
So. Right. And how long did it take you to make that?
Oh, not that bad at all because I have a plasma cutter and plasma cutter allows you to cut not too thick a sheet metal, but sheet metal that's almost like drawing. Mm-hmm. So you could take the petals and you kind of work it like almost like if you're doing paper flowers,
right?
In that way. And then I did that fish for my dad he hung over his thing, and that everybody loved that. And it took me so long that like people were like, oh, I want one. I'm like, if I charged you even a little bit of how long that took me, like, it'd be too expensive. So I'm not at that point yet. Like, with fashion, I can make things really well, like, made to last, beautifully done. You can look at it up close.
You really understand that I'm going to probably, like, ask. I'm going to look at your line, and I'm going to say to you,
look at my line.
This is what I do. And I'm going to, you know, and I am going to be a little bit outside your range of sizing as of right now. But I am. I'm just gonna love it, and I'm gonna want it.
I have zero problem making any size. It's more who buys your clothes at the moment. You know what I mean? And like to make this certain range is a little bit easier. But I love like making anybody feel fantastic.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea with fashion is, it's kind of bringing out your internal attitude.
Absolutely.
So, like, with me, I'm dressing like this complete slob. Well, you see my house. I'm a complete slob. Like, it kind of tells you who you are.
Right.
And who you want to kind of show. Like, I'm trying to show the world, hey, I don't, like, I'm good. I'm casual. Whatever. If I'm wearing something else, I'm trying to express that in a different way. And if my clothing speaks to anybody, I want to help them.
Right.
So it's not really an issue of sizing. It's more like, this is the kind of popular sizes, so if I'm going to put it out there ready to make,
this
is what I'm going to put out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Also, she did just make her own duffel bag for her roller derby equipment.
Well, of course you did.
That's what you do. Because I
had air vents and everything.
I had like,
air vents?
Well, it's a thing. Your stuff starts to smell like corn chips.
Yeah, it does. It starts to smell like my hockey bag. I played hockey in high school,
exactly.
And it smells like your hockey bag.
Well, the problem is I had a waterproof bag from... I worked on American Gangster, the movie, and they gave us a double
bed. Let me just drop it right there.
I worked with Russell Crowe.
Just drop it.
And
Hulk, you want to get that?
It's the only duffel bag I had. It's a waterproof bag, so my stuff smells so bad. And yes, you can wash it, but that takes time. But if I had some, actually some of my fashion stuff I made based off of fisherman vests, like fish vests.
Right.
Like if you were fly fishing, you'd wear these kind of vests. I got this netting from that, and I was making fashion stuff off of that. I had some left over, and so I used my bag, and now I have this very aerated bag.
Awesome. Yeah. So American Gangster, what'd you do?
Oh, this is just part of the costume crew.
Oh, okay.
So, like, with
anything
else,
you want to drop it for you.
Okay. It was a brand new world, right?
New World.
A new world with Colin Farrell and
Christian Bale.
Yes.
So what other... Okay, we could drop that now. What other things do you want to just drop?
I don't know. I Sister of the Traveling Pants 2.
No!
What?
Oh. face? Hello? Wait, how are you getting this? Like, how do you...
Oh, that's...
She knows people. She knows people.
No.
You know people.
No. Because that's a really great story. I don't know people. So...
I love when you don't know people.
My first time, when I got that Coen Brothers film...
hold up.
That's not where I left off.
Well, you left off
anyway,
with the whole...
Okay, so the first internship I got, I decided I wanted to do... Think about costume design. I was going into my senior year of college. I sent out 35 applications to work on movies. Like, I researched what movies were going to need, were going to be in production and all that. And I got 35 no's.
Aww.
And I was like, oh. And then I got one call back.
Yes.
And it was Mary Zofrace, the costume designer of that movie. And she was like, look, I want you to come on this movie, but we can't pay you, and you need to come here and live for free.
What?
And or find your own way. And I was like, it was in L.A. Well, my sister lives in L.A. So
oh, she does?
Yeah. So I was like, sweet, yeah, I'll do that. And so it was my first film. I mean, because I wasn't getting paid, I got to be on set all the time. Like, if there was nothing for me to do, she's like, go watch the film being made. You know what
That's
I mean?
Amazing.
Or go work with the distressor. So the distressor makes things look old and worn in, and I learned so much. After that, well, actually, the distressor was like, how did you get this job? Like, this is...
I was willing to work for free.
Like, this is... Well, I worked for free for 5 years, first of all. She was like, how do you get this job? Because this is, like, coveted. And I was like, I have no idea. Turns out, because Mary Zofrace is Greek and my last name is Greek, I think she was intrigued with that. And that's how I got my first job.
So, are you Greek?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just, you know, just because I'm not everybody asks.
I'm not.
That.
Is it? Do they really ask that? Because I'm not going to say
story.
That just because your last name is
but,
Greek.
But she
are you
definitely
Greek?
Lives like an Italian at Fiesta.
Her oh hell yeah, she does.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, she does. Yeah. There's a whole like a guy got captured off the coast of Greece by Admiral Nelson's crew. Were made to live. They got dropped off on the coast of Nova Scotia. The people there didn't know anything about them, but they were Greeks, so they called them the Greeks, and that's how my name.
Amazing,
right?
We just learned everything.
I've known her since fourth grade, and I'm learning so much.
I've known Peter since fourth grade. Her brother.
Well,
it's amazing.
You know, we're 6 months apart.
Yeah, we are. We're not that, you know, not that far apart.
No,
awesome.
Yeah.
So this is really exciting. I'm so excited that you came on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm currently downloading your site. Yes, absolutely.
You can look at the Facebook page. So a lot of
you have a Facebook page.
Oh, and Instagram too. But like,
you need to plug those. So
okay,
plug everything.
So Facebook is Harpy Fashion. So is Instagram is Harpy Fashion, and then the website is harpyfashion.com. But just like what I found out with my tattoo artist is, never look at the website for the super current stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Always look at your Instagram, their Instagram and Facebook, because. Websites get updated not as much as those do. So if you're
right.
really interested in what I'm doing currently, you know, day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
look at the Instagram, look at the Facebook.
Okay.
Are you
awesome.
On Twitter?
I am not.
Okay.
But why would she be, really? You know, if she's going to do a lot of different...
I
know.
My Twitter game is pretty spot on. I'll just say that.
I know,
but
I mean, yeah.
I just, that's okay. Because
I'm more
when
a visual person.
No, that's totally fine. Because when we finish this nice little recording, we're going to take a photo so that we can plug your social needs and we can get your name out there as well as on Twitter.
Thank you. People
will be like, wait, what is this? And I mean, let's be real. I don't know if that many people follow me. The Mindy Project does follow me.
Nice.
The Mindy Project follows me too.
Right. Okay. Well, then there we go.
You know who follows me?
Tom Hanks.
Oh my God! Stop.
No, one of those
Alexis
Bledel. No, one of those cute raccoon things.
Raccoon things.
You know, trash pandas?
Like Pumpkin the raccoon.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Is it the red
Juniper Fox? Pumpkin the raccoon? Pokey the.
No.
Hedgehog?
Oh, wait, I'm already following you?
Wow, you are a terrible host.
Yeah, but you know what?
But you've only had nothing. Let me just put this. You've only had 49 posts.
Yeah. She's been busy. Yeah. She's been welding. She's been
rolling
busy. She's been revamping her business.
I'm one of those I'm one of those weird people that I'm like, do people really want to see this?
Yes, they do.
I know, but it's
just
like,
do it already.
I have a hard time being like, look at what I'm doing.
Yeah, you
okay,
should.
Okay, well, then
but
that's where people like you hire PR people.
I don't have PR friends or things. I don't have a problem PRing my dog, obviously.
No.
That
Mona is pretty spectacular. She needs her own Instagram.
Yeah, she has her own.
So that's it. But I just, you have, all right, I'm about to sit.
She's got so many things.
I do. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah. Instagram, 49 post, you need to put it out there more.
I know.
You really do. I will. That's where it's at. And I.
Because you know you got a fan in both of us.
Aww.
Yes, you do.
Probably Mr. E too, but you know.
Yeah.
He hasn't listened to this podcast
yet.
Not yet.
And the puppies.
And the puppies.
They don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't really tweet out or
But they're listening to every word.
That is true.
Oh, yes, they are.
That is true.
All right, so we're going to wrap up here. This is Leisha Unleashed, episode 57. I freaking love this podcast. I don't know who he is. I just loved it.
Doesn't your executive producer know how to produce?
You do. You should be promoted. What's the next step to executive producer?
No, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Director, but, you know, executive producer is the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, maybe in all caps.
Yes.
All right, so you're good because whatever, I'm going to promote. I'm promoting you right now.
Dude, this is just like, she's like the A game I got right here. Like, she just drops the Tom Hanks.
Shit.
Did you tell him thanks afterwards?
I'm sure I did.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
sorry. Corny. That's why I'm single.
We have a closer. You've got lined up, and that's great. So it's Leisha Unleashed. Thank you, Jenny, so much.
Thank you.
We're going to have you on again, dudes.
That's what's happening.
Perfect. We're doing this.
Yes.
Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome, Leisha.
Amazing. Love this.
Thanks, guys. All right.
Leisha Unleashed.
Peace. Out.